702.
Googs is on Twitter
at GoogsM.
16 minutes after 7 o'clock, time for us to talk personal finance. And joined, as always, by certified financial planner Paul Roelofser to speak about higher deductions on pensions. And maybe you have a question about your pension and tax implications. Do give us a ring on 011-883-0702. You can send us an SMS on 31702 or send us a WhatsApp voice note on 072-702-1702. Paul, good morning. Welcome to Weekend Breakfast.
Hi, Guru, and Happy New Year. Happy Mother's Day to everybody, and yourself included. I hope you did have a special day.
Happy Mother's Day to all the moms, yes. Thank
you. And I hope you also gave your mom a good call, and I'm sure she's going to get spoiled by you too.
I haven't yet, only because when I wake up on the weekends, I think it would have been rude to call her at 4:30. So
I did have that in mind.
I will call her after the show at a more decent hour.
Okay.
So we're talking about pensions and higher deductions on pensions. What exactly is happening?
Well, yes, certainly. It's come through and kind of a surprise. But look, the communication from SARS has been out there for a while. But I don't think many of us interpreted it in the way that the outcome has actually resulted. And we must understand that a pension is not tax-free. All right, there aren't any free lunches in the tax system. The one good thing about pension fund contributions along the way while you're building up your fund is that you can deduct them off your taxable earnings along the way, which makes them very, very efficient and very, very good investments. However, the caveat lies when you take the pension, because the pension is always seen as income and it's added to your tax tables and you're taxed accordingly. And, you know, we work in South Africa on what we call progressive scales. So the more you earn, the higher the tax bracket. So what's actually happened, and it came effective from this tax year onwards, is that many retirees have more than one pension source. You know, they may have a living annuity and a pension with one provider, and then another one with another provider. And what actually has happened in the past is that that provider is unaware of all the other pensions that he or she may have. So they tax that particular pension at one, as if it's the only pension that that person has. And that normally falls into the smaller or lower scale in terms of the tax brackets. But then what happens at the end of the year, when you add up all your pensions from various sources, it pushes you into a higher tax bracket, and you find yourself with a shortfall. You actually haven't paid, on average, the right amount of tax on all your pensions. So what SARS has done is said, well, what we're going to do now from here onwards is we're going to tell all the service providers, based on your history, because they know what your last year and your previous year's pensions are all about. And they've sent out directives to all the various service providers saying, you will now tax that person on this rate. And it's based on the total aggregate of all your pensions that you have. So what's happening is that people are now seeing the deduction applied as higher than normal, and their take-home pay, so to speak, or their take-home pension is that much less. And it's given us a realization that we're now paying that shortfall on a monthly basis instead of SARS waiting at the end of the tax year to collect it.
So how did it work before? If your all of your kind of pension funds are now being essentially they're being combined as one fund, how did it work before? Were they taxed separately?
Yeah, that's just what was happening. Say, for example, let's find a really simple example. You might have had a pension of 10,000 rand from one particular place, and maybe a 2,000 rand pension from another provider. The 2,000 pension was taxed at a rate of whatever 2,000 rand per year would be, per month would be. So the actual tax applied would be very low, but on the 10,000 pension, it would be that much higher. But when we add the two together at the end of the tax year, you're actually earning 12,000 rand, and that pushes you into that higher tax bracket. So they were taxed individually as if they were the only source. And right now what's going to happen is that they're going to be taxed at the aggregate, all-inclusive, which means that every one of your pensions will be taxed at the highest rate that they need to be. Now, theoretically, what should happen at the end of the tax year is that you won't owe SARS anything and they won't owe you anything. And it's supposed to negate that pending shortfall that you would have had anyway. But you see, the other thing that of interest, I think, is SARS is also on the front foot now, because instead of them waiting for that extra bit of tax that you owed them at the end of your tax return, they're now collecting monthly now at a higher rate. So therefore, their revenue streams are that much more current.
Does that mean for me as the pension fund holder, am I paying more?
Well, no, but that's the illusion, you see, that you, mm-hmm. you may think because I'm now paying higher rates of tax every month, I'm paying more. But that's actually not quite right. All that's really happened is that you're paying the effective rate of tax that you should on all your aggregates instead of waiting at the end of the year for the shortfall. Yeah, you're not going to be paying more. That's not really the case at all. You're actually paying what you should be paying. SARS is just getting it now on a monthly basis instead of waiting at the end of the year for it.
And then, but this is good for SARS, given that they're now collecting on a monthly basis, right? It sounds like it's good for SARS.
Very good for SARS. No, so, the fiscus is going to now get the revenue a lot quicker and a lot more current.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of waiting. You know, when you file your tax return, the tax season, for example, is only opening up now, probably in June or July. And then you file your return. If you're an e-filer, you only pay your taxes, say, towards the end of the year, around about November. So effectively, you've got really 6 or 8 months of breathing space in terms of waiting for you to do your return. And then that shortfall is due only on assessment. So SARS has to wait quite a long time to get that refund. Right now, SARS is going to get it on a monthly basis, on a PAYE basis, currently and on a monthly way. So I think from their side, yes, I certainly would be very pleased with that injection. But to come back to your first question, certainly we're not paying more. We're just paying it more up front rather than waiting to pay it at the end.
Okay. We have received a question on WhatsApp on this topic.
Hi, good morning. Look, I just have a quick question. I'm busy making out my will. Now, when I pass on, the beneficiary of my pension funds, can that person now withdraw all of the money, or must they leave that money where it is and then just draw down a monthly amount? Hope that's clear enough. Thanks. Bye.
Paul?
That's a super question. If you have a pension and you've got a nominated beneficiary, that pension gets paid to that beneficiary. The beneficiary does have an option, though. They can continue on with, taking the pension. Look, it depends on what type of pension, too, because there's a whole array of choices in pension funds. But let's just assume it's the more standard one, like the living annuity, where you've got a nominated beneficiary. That beneficiary on your death can elect to continue taking the pension, or can also opt to commute it. In other words, cash it in. The difference lies in cashing it in, some severe taxes apply to it in terms of certain scales that are in place in the tax world. So you've got an option. You take the pension for the rest of your life or for as long as the pension lasts, and or you can turn around and commute it, and you would have to pay tax and then cash it out in that way.
So if you receive a pension as part of, I guess, an inheritance, for lack of a better word, it is still treated mm-hmm. as a pension, not as...
Yes, no, certainly. It still stays as a pension. In a living annuity case, it's treated outside the estate, so the beneficiary will still, whilst the estate is being wound up, will still be able to access that pension and move on with it. But as I say, there is another option along the way in that instance where you can cash it in, but there are some severe taxes applied to it in terms of that commutation.
And when you are cashing it in, is it taxed at the same rate as it would be if, for instance, the original policyholder, if they were yes. cashing it out at the age of retirement?
That's correct. There's mm-hmm. a retirement tax scale that is applied to it, where you get a certain portion tax-free, and then moving up the scale, you pay more tax on that. it's a pretty severe tax. And you've got the option of looking at the one versus the other to see which one this year you prefer. But coming back to the question, you see, there are options, but it continues in the hands of the beneficiary, and he or she may then decide on what to do with either.
And just to clarify, it can continue in the hands of the beneficiary until their retirement age, or the retirement age of the original person?
No, but it carries on until the beneficiary passes on. They too may want to put a beneficiary on the plan. I'm speaking to a specific retirement plan called the living annuity, which has this beneficiary nomination. So you
okay.
pick up the pension, and thereafter, if you pass on, you would have a beneficiary which you can then pass that pension on to, and it would carry on, you know, in the hands of whoever is the nominated person.
Mm-hmm.
But it gets a little complicated because there are different types of pensions as well. You
mm-hmm.
know, you get pensions for life, they get pensions that pass, that stop in the event of your death, some that you can pass on to your spouse, etc. So not to complicate the question too much, just the principle in that sense is that the beneficiary can carry on until they pass on. And then if there is another nominated beneficiary thereafter, they too then carry on with that pension. So it's not restricted to any age, it's just restricted to how long you live.
Mm-hmm. A question on WhatsApp here says, hi, can the pension be paid to anyone else other than one spouse? How can children be the beneficiary?
Well, there again, you say depending on the pension, but I'm assuming it's a living annuity, which is, say, the more popular one at the moment. And if you have a nominated child, be careful because the child too is a minor, okay, but they can actually enjoy that pension too. You can put that pension in the space of any beneficiary, but there are consequences. Remember, if a child is a minor, then there might be complications there. But the point to make is that the beneficiary can be anyone.
Okay. But also you keep saying this is specifically to a living annuity,
mm-hmm.
which is different to just an ordinary pension fund?
Well, if you have another type of pension, let's just say that I don't elect to take in a living annuity. I might go to a service provider and say, right, here's my retirement capital.
Mm-hmm.
I want a lifelong pension. One that I don't want to manage myself. You make an offer on me as a pensioner, and they will come back to you and say, right, we'll give you this pension for the rest of your life. And that will be an amount which they then will have the obligation of paying until you pass on. Now, inside those types of pensions, you've got options. You can say, well, I want a pension that will be guaranteed for the first, say, 10 years. It'll be a lower pension, but if I do pass on within those 10 years, the remaining part of that 10-year period will be paid to a nominated beneficiary, and then it ceases. You can also take a pension on the same basis of saying, well, I want one, that if I pass on, half of it normally gets paid to my surviving spouse, and on her death, it falls away. And I think we can go on. There are many variables in that kind of space, and that's why I was a bit cautious about just saying, you know, across the board, this is what might happen.
Okay.
But in a living annuity, you take on the ownership of that particular pension. You decide on how it's invested, and you then also decide on how much you draw from it from an annual basis. And it becomes your obligation to make sure that it lasts for as long as it needs to. Whereas the other way around, you're passing it on to the service provider, like an old mutual or a Liberty Life, and you're saying, right, give me a pension. They will work out your longevity, your life expectancy. They'll come back with an offer and say, this is the pension that we're prepared to give you. But in that sense, when you pass on, the money stays with the provider and goes into a risk pool and helps all those people that live longer than you. So you're passing it all into the service provider, and they will keep it in the event of your death.
We do have a question. Salomane in Johannesburg. Thank you for holding. Good morning.
Morning, ma'am. You know, so sorry to maybe ask this question, but I'm in a situation where my mother is retiring, right? And she's retiring properly at 60, no issues, and we are doing what your guest just described now. I think it's life annuity or whatever. But what I wanted to understand is when he said that SARS takes you on a monthly basis, so upfront, instead of once a year or something like that. So say my mother gets her one third, and then every month she gets her whatever, living annuity, whatever it is, monthly salary. What does it mean when he says SARS gets their money up front? I'm not getting that point.
Okay, so it's not technically up front, it's technically taxed as if those earnings will fall into a tax bracket during the course of the tax year. So we all tax at certain rates depending on how much income we earn. So assuming that would be the only source of income from your mom's pension, it will go into a scale of tax for this tax year, and they will work out what the PAYE is going to be for the year. So we're not paying the tax up front, we're paying it on a monthly basis for the tax year. And that is determined by where your mom's pension will fit into the tax scales. And the message was here today is that mom had sources from other pensions. They then would also be included and would push her tax rate up. But she's not paying up front. Mom will be paying on a monthly basis for the given tax year according to the tax scales that she falls into.
Sure. Yeah, no, it's true. Let me just get a quick one, right? Monthly she was going to get, let's say, 20,000 as an example. Mm-hmm. And then after tax, it goes down to 16,000, right?
Right.
Now, that 4,000 has been taxed. She's only got 16,000. So now, when you say the monthly, do they still come to that 16,000 or they are done with their tax?
Mom will be paying tax every single month on her 20,000. And let's assume that the tax is 4,000. And every single month she'll take home 16,000, having paid her tax on a monthly basis at 4. When you come to the end of the tax year and mom does her tax return, theoretically she's paid the tax during the course of the year, so she shouldn't owe SARS anything, and SARS won't owe her anything if they've got the right tax rate applied. And that's really just what it is. It's not about waiting till the end of the year, seeing if I've paid enough tax or too much tax. This new rate of tax that SARS is imposing, in theory, is the right effective rate of tax that should be applied to mom's pension. So at the end of the tax year, she doesn't owe SARS, SARS doesn't owe her. But they're taking their tax off every single month as mom gets the pension. They will take the tax off, and she will take home the whatever's left over. And that's her obligation settled already every single month.
All right, thanks.
Thanks so much for the call, Salomane. Lots of questions, but I don't think we'll get to all of them, Paul. But just another question about a rate. Jenny in Bryanston says, I'm a new pensioner, and they've based that rate on when I was still working, so I'm paying a high rate. Is it compulsory? The rate is wrong.
Well, you have the obligation, well, not obligation, you have the opportunity to go to SARS and explain that. They certainly will entertain that if they've overtaxed you. And I would actually ask her to contact the call centre and settle that issue quickly. It is based on your previous history, and there will be people, I think, that have got a higher rate unnecessarily. But SARS will entertain that, and they will probably give you, with the sympathetic ear, they'll go through the calculations and things and probably come back with some lesser form of tax to be applied. But that's in the hands of SARS, and they have opened the door for people in that particular circumstance.
Paul, thank you very much for joining us this morning. Always a pleasure having you on the show.
You too.
Have a great day. That's Certified Financial Planner Paul Roelof. So if we didn't get to your question, you can send me an email, google@702.co.za, and we'll see if we can pick it up in another part of the show, or another conversation about personal finance. Right now, though, it is 25 minutes before 8 o'clock. Time for us to check in with your latest EWN Sport.